The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
My parents at the time were not people of faith, that neither one of them had a relationship with Jesus. And both of them, sadly, were drinking far too much. And my father, when I was three, he decided he didn't want to be married anymore. And he didn't want a three-year-old son. And he got on a plane and he left.
Next, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz shares how his father was transformed by the power of Jesus Christ.
Thank all of you. Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty has a hacking cough, and I'm just praying with all my heart she gets over it, because I'm just not complete without her, and all of you know it. Don't change channels. Don't get up and walk out of the room, all right? I have a guest you'll want to listen to, and he wishes his wife was here, too. They're definitely our better half. Senator Ted Cruz is back with me to talk about the country that we love, and really and truly, to be honest with you, the God that we love, and his children that he loves so deeply. And I can tell you that I know beyond a doubt the only way, now listen to me, the only way we're going to correct our nation's very perilous course will be for people to find common ground upon which to stand to effectively address very legitimate common concerns. Now, one of the things that I've seen, and I want to talk to the senator about this, the one thing that has brought the greatness of the American people to the forefront, to do things that no government can ever do, however frequently they promise it, when a crisis, a catastrophic event occurs, people come together. They don't discuss their theological differences. They don't discuss their partisan preferences. They just look at one another and say, "Do you care? I'm sure you do. You wouldn't be here. Can you help? Will you help? How will you help?" And we take on Katrina, tornadic damage in Moore, Oklahoma, Joplin, Missouri, Alabama, Hurricane Sandy, 9/11. Welcome, Senator Ted Cruz, to Life Today. Senator, I found myself, as I've now reached my 71st birthday, in the last years, really focusing on the importance of the prayer of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In John 17, you know, he gave us the model prayer, our mm-hmm. Father which art in heaven. Right. He's our Father. Right. That's relationship. Mm-hmm. Not religion, it's relationship. Mm-hmm. But in 17, he prayed that we would be one with the Father as he is, which we meant he lived mm-hmm. watching the Father. Where the Father looked, he looked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to please the Father. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "I want us to be sanctified in truth, purified by uh-huh, truth, uh-huh, not uh-huh. bludgeoned with it, uh-huh. not beating up one another with it." But then he said, "and perfected in unity." And I have to believe that if Jesus in his prayer prayed for unity, there has to be some great power effect of a supernatural unity that I think we've witnessed in history. I think we witnessed with our founders. Uh-huh. Do you agree, as a senator, that our founders were under some kind of a powerful umbrella of divine providence influence in them?
It was from the founding of our country, America has enjoyed God's providential blessing. I mean, at every stage, when 56 men signed their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, signing the Declaration of Independence, declaring war on the mightiest army on the face of the planet, that made no sense by earthly logic. There was no way on earth this ragtag bunch of colonies could prevail, and yet we did. When the Declaration and Constitution were drafted, they were drafted on the knees of the founding fathers through prayer. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Civil War, a bloody war of brother against brother that spilled gallons of blood, working to expunge the original sin of this nation that was slavery. That civil war should have ripped this country apart forever. And it was only with God's blessing
yes, sir.
that this country came back together. In World War II, standing up against the grotesque evil that was the Nazis. Again, God shined His grace on this nation, and the American people rose to save the free world. You go to the 1980s, where with Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher and Pope John Paul II, we won the Cold War without firing a shot.
Yep.
At every stage, and it is really the source of my optimism today. You know, there are a lot of people in America who are feeling despondency, feeling despair, and the threats are great. They are as great or greater than anything we've ever faced. And yet I'm convinced, James, God is not done with America, that His blessings are still on this nation, and that the American people, when the challenges are great, rise to the occasion.
Well, I think that what I pointed out even in the open, that catastrophic events bring people together. It's tragic that right. too often, it's not just the call to personal responsibility or compassionate expressions always that brings everyone to the forefront in unity. It's crisis. Do you think that people in America could be brought to attention as people together to see here's what's coming, here's the economic chaos, here are the catastrophic events, here's the vulnerability where we can't even protect our own White House and where the agencies that are called to protect are mocking one another at their inabilities and we don't communicate? Do you think the American people could be brought to attention by recognizing the crisis is already at hand?
James,
what do you think?
I believe it with all of my heart. You know, each of us, every Christian, we've seen miracles in our own lives. We've seen transformations. You know, in my family, you've heard me share my father's story of fleeing Cuba with nothing. But, you know, there was another transformation. I mean, first of all, when he was in prison in Cuba, by all rights, he should have been killed there. He was beaten, bloody, his teeth were stomped out of his mouth, he had an army boot crushed in the back of his head. He should have died as a teenager. And God was with him and brought him out of that prison cell and brought him to America. But then another transformation. My parents were married, and they moved to Calgary in the oil and gas business. And when I was 3 years old, my parents at the time were not people of faith, that neither one of them had a relationship with Jesus. And both of them, sadly, were drinking far too much. And my father, when I was three, he decided he didn't want to be married anymore. And he didn't want a three-year-old son. And he got on a plane and he left. And he came down to Texas, back to Texas, to Houston. And a friend of his in the oil and gas business invited him to go to Clay Road Baptist Church. It's a small Baptist church in Houston. And he went to Clay Road Baptist and he gave his life to Jesus. And he went to the airport, he bought a plane ticket, and he flew back to Calgary. And he flew back to my mother and me.
Thank God.
And you know, when people ask, is faith real? Is a relationship with Jesus real? Look, if it weren't for Jesus, I would have been raised by a single mother without my dad being in the house. Every one of us, every Christian, we've seen those transformations in our lives. And compared to that, turning around this country isn't that hard.
Don't you thank God for the testimony of what faith and what a relationship with Jesus does? And your dad, as you know, became a part of what I call the inner circle of men and women who would pray with us for our country. And he was a part of when God led me to really pray with a Hollywood actor that appeared to be more qualified than our Southern Baptist Sunday School teacher was to lead the country. And we just kind of had a little prayer meeting about all that. And your dad was a part of that. And your dad's never stopped caring. I think that if we could just get people to realize that the crisis is as real as Katrina and far more devastating, I think we would come together and pull together and correct the course. And that's my earnest prayer. We really need to stop attacking one another. You are such an appropriate and strong advocate for securing our borders. Uh-huh. It just seems like not only the sensible but sane thing to do. It even implies protecting personal property, for heaven's sake, which is the foundation stone of economic stability. Thou shalt not even covet your neighbor's property. Mm-hmm. If anything ever said he's got a right to his property, and don't envy him for it, and don't covet it, doesn't mean you couldn't have some, but don't go get his, mm-hmm. and don't begrudge him having it. And we don't protect anything here anymore, mm-hmm. except bureaucratic turf, right. and partisan positions, and sectarian ideologies. Mm-hmm. And we've got to stop the nonsense. Okay, I got to ask you, are you anti-immigrant? I mean, you know, your dad got over here from Cuba, for heaven's sake.
Well, look, there are lots of attacks in politics, and you know, one of the signs, if they're not throwing rocks at you, you're not doing anything. And if it ever comes to the point where the mainstream media is not attacking me, that's when, James, you need to pick up the phone and say, Ted, what happened? Because you're not telling the truth anymore. Yeah, you know, when it comes to immigration, I mean, I think there is actually a lot of bipartisan agreement.
Yes.
Outside of Washington. Outside of Washington, there is overwhelming bipartisan agreement that we got to get serious about securing our borders, mm-hmm. that we need to solve the problem of illegal immigration, that it is a tragedy what's happening. You're seeing women and children dying in the desert. You're seeing little boys and little girls physically assaulted, sexually assaulted. There's a crisis at the border, and there's overwhelming agreement we need to solve that. I think there is also overwhelming agreement outside of Washington that we need to improve and streamline legal immigration. Mm-hmm. That we need to remain a nation that doesn't just welcome, that celebrates
Absolutely.
Legal immigrants. Mm-hmm. Reagan referred to legal immigrants as Americans by choice.
Yep.
Now, if we Absolutely. Focused on areas of bipartisan agreement, you could craft an immigration bill that could sail through Congress.
Absolutely.
The problem is, and I'm convinced President Obama, the Senate Democrats, they're not looking to solve this problem. They want a partisan issue to use in elections in 14 mm-hmm. and 16. Mm-hmm. And so they engage in political theatrics instead of working
That's right.
to solve this problem. You know, we need improvements. We need improvements in securing the border. I introduced legislation, for example, to triple the Border Patrol. Because when you go down to the border, I've spent a lot of time at the border, you talk to law enforcement there, they say the number one thing they need is boots on the ground to provide fixed wing and helicopter aircraft so that you have the technology.
Sure.
To provide for E-Verify workplace enforcement so that you can actually secure the border. And then on legal immigration, you know, there is no stronger advocate of legal immigration in the U.S. Senate than I am. So, for example, I introduced legislation to increase the number of H-1B visas, temporary high-skilled workers, fivefold, from 65,000 to 325,000. Why is that? Because every year, we have people from all over the world come to U.S. universities. They get graduate degrees in math and computer science and engineering. And then we send them back to their countries. They start businesses there. They create jobs there. I mean, it makes no sense. The data show every single one of those who stay in this country produce 1.8 American jobs. Mm-hmm. So I introduced legislation, said, look, let's stop playing around. Let's allow people that want to come and work towards the American dream to do so. Every single Senate Democrat in the Senate Judiciary Committee voted against that amendment. And they did it because they said, Chuck Schumer was very candid. He said, look, we cut a deal with the union bosses. We can't change the numbers. So no, they go to the tech community all the time. They say, we're supporting you. And every one of them voted against increasing high-skilled visas.
Wow. And that shows the mass confusion that's uh-huh. prevailing in uh-huh. Washington. If, and you've been, let's say, referenced as a possible 16 candidate for president. You're not ready to announce here on Life Today.
I am not.
Okay. I'd be happy to talk to you when you want to talk about it. Indispensable qualities right. that Americans should look for in president?
Principle, integrity, and courage. You know, Thatcher referred to courage as the indispensable characteristic. You know, in my office in Washington, I have three busts in my office. One of Reagan, one of Winston Churchill, and one of Dr. Martin Luther King. As three leaders, each of whom stood up and spoke the truth They had moral courage to speak against injustice, and each of them was vilified. Mm-hmm. And yet they, with a vision towards a hopeful, optimistic future, they stood against evil. I think that is what our country needs today more than anything else.
And I think it's really important for all of our viewers. I think it's very important for all of you to realize there's only one person who ever did it perfect. And he was vilified.
Uh-huh.
And crucified. So the fact that we get resistance is not by any means necessarily a negative. And I know that when I've talked to the senator and we've had our time together to really just talk together and talk to the Lord, that as strong as we stand, above all, love uh-huh. is the quality that never fails. If President Obama called you at midnight uh-huh. and he said, Senator, I have 2 years left, uh-huh. what would you suggest that I do to try to salvage these last 2 years? Uh-huh. You got any suggestions? There's a camera right here.
Look, I have lots of suggestions. Number one, and I said this a year and a half ago when the president came to Capitol Hill, met with the Senate Republicans, and we had lunch together, and I asked him, I said, Mr. President, my top priority is bringing back jobs and economic growth. That's the number one priority of 26 million Texans. People are hurting, and the people who are hurting the most are the most vulnerable among us. They're young people, Hispanics, African Americans, single moms. Can we work together on tax reform, on regulatory reform, reducing the burdens on small businesses mm-hmm. so that we can create opportunity, frankly, for people like my dad, teenage immigrants who were washing dishes. They're the ones getting hurt, single moms forced into part-time work because of Obamacare. Unfortunately, the president has not been willing to do that. Now, I'll tell you another area I would love to work with the president on is having the administration actually protect our constitutional rights, protect religious liberty, instead of leading the assault on our constitutional rights, leading the assault on religious liberty. But let me mention one example where we have worked together, which is about 6 months ago. You may remember Iran named as their ambassador to the United Nations, Hamid Abutalabi, who's a known terrorist. He had participated in holding Americans hostage in 1979 and 1980. Now, when that happened, it was intended to be a slap in the face to the United States, and it was. And most folks in Washington were saying, this is terrible, but we can't do anything to fix it. I introduced legislation to bar Abutalabi from coming to this country, to bar any known terrorist from getting a visa. That legislation on the Senate floor, it got support from senators as varied as Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham. In fact, Chuck spoke in support of it. I came up to it. I said, be careful, Chuck, lightning's going to strike you. It passed the Senate 100-0. Went to the House of Representatives. It passed the House of Representatives 435-0. And President Obama signed it into law.
Wow.
And in fact, the epilogue, 2 weeks later at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the president was given a speech. And, you know, it's one of these speeches where politicians are supposed to tell jokes and be funny. And he said, a couple of weeks ago, Ted Cruz introduced legislation that I signed into law. He said, here's a picture of the signing ceremony. And he put up a picture of himself, of me, and the devil in hell freezing over.
Would you say thank you to Senator Ted Cruz for being with us? What a joy. Senator, I'm going to show our viewers something that, you know, we've talked about your concern. We've actually worked with the water drilling organization you work with. I've been to Nicaragua many times, and we've been all over the world drilling water wells. But one of the things that we started first was feeding children that were hungry. And right now, I want to show our viewers something that will really grab your heart, because you're going to see what happens when we don't get the feeding centers established in time. But even in desperate situations, we're diligently seeking to turn it around, but we can correct it before the crisis. Watch very closely.
Within the life of every child is God-given potential. We can see it in the dreams these children have for their future. Though he lives a meager life and has few possessions, Fernando dreams of moving to a city to become an architect. He'll design a school for Antonio, who dreams of becoming a teacher. He'll design a hospital for Rosa, who dreams of becoming a doctor. Who would have thought children with so little would have dreams so big? But Fernando's mother knows that his chances for realizing these dreams are slim. She knows the painful secret that his food supply is unstable at best, and during lean months, completely depleted. Already, the shortage of food has led to the deaths of many children, with their chance at a dream extinguished. The biggest obstacle for children like Fernando is simply the lack of food. Food. It's as simple as that. By helping to provide just one child like Fernando with a daily bowl of food, you'll be making a world of difference, not only for him, but for every child who is holding on to a dream.
You know, the only way you can effectively meet a crisis is with compassion. And I honestly believe that the most compassionate people that I've ever come across are the viewers of Life Today, like you, and perhaps you've never helped us. Maybe you're watching because you're just concerned about things that affect you, your family, and your future. But that means you care. These children and their families are facing death, starvation, malnutrition, lack of health. We can change it all. We can change it by putting porridge in a heat-resistant bowl that viewers like you encouraged us to give so they wouldn't bring various types of tin cans, burn their little hands on the hot soup mix, or sometimes even a plastic bag that the soup would burn right through. I'm praying before I come out to do any television program any time of the year. God touch the hearts of the viewers where they would identify with parents and family members, and even identify with your heart, God, and care enough to simply reach out and touch someone with undeniable love. Would you help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months with a gift of $30, $50, or $100? Would you do that? I don't know where you could better spend $100 than to feed 10 children. And you know, we've got viewers that have been so blessed of God that you're able to do even more. And we really need friends who will give $1,000 to feed 100 or $5,000 to feed 500, because we've got 400,000 already located. And as a matter of fact, we've located so many that have already been brought into the clinics where basically without a miracle, they've got a few hours or a few days to live because there wasn't a feeding center. And we're establishing new centers. And that is part of the 400,000 that we're asking you to help us feed, the missionaries, take care of. Would you reach out and really touch someone with love by dialing that number that's always there if your heart's broken or you want someone to join with you in prayer? 24 hours a day, they're there. But right now, would you reach out and say, here's my gift, and put it on your bank card. Use that card like it's a check. That's how you should use them. And just say, here's my 100 or my 50 or my 30, or perhaps you can give even more. We want to send you the incredibly, beautifully bound, leather-bound, large print study Bible. It's just beautiful. And it's easy to carry, as well as the devotional book with many of our wonderful guests to be a blessing to you. We always want to say thank you for giving life. Would you go to the phone right now? Or go online and just go to lifetoday.org. And make the gift God put in your heart. Now, if you're mailing a check made to Life, call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. Please do that.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and even some Ebola-threatened areas of Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, $100, or $300 will help feed and care for 3, 5, 10, or 30 children for the next 3 months. With your support and the partnership of others, your gift goes a long way to help save lives. Please call us, write, or go online today and make your gift. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a brand new 31-day devotional featuring inspiration from a variety of special guests of Life Today and an instrumental worship CD to bless you in your quiet times with the Lord. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the NIV Larger Print Leather-Bound Reference Bible. And finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your help. You are indeed the most compassionate people, and you're so unselfish. You don't give to get. Unconditional love doesn't love to receive. It just loves. And real giving gives to give, and that's you. And I believe you're so caring that you're going to be praying for wisdom for our national leaders, for wisdom as we select our leaders. You're going to be praying for our leaders and their families, their protection, and that God will give them supernatural, divine enabling to accomplish the task and the mission that's been set before them. I want you to do that for Senator Ted Cruz. And would you say thank you to Senator Cruz? Senator, thank you. Love you a lot.
God bless you. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank all of you. Thank you for watching Life Today. Senator, God bless you on your way. Thank you.
To know what it's like to get on the edge of destruction so that we will know the joy of deliverance.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.